I see what worry does to people. It destroys their spirit. It permeates their life and keeps them from seeing what is good and what God has provided for us. It is insidious, and it is going to infect you, and it's going to infect those around you. So let's change our perspective, and let's look at the things that God has for us now in this life, and look forward to the glorious time that we're going to be with Him in heaven.
You know, the Bible says that God has not given us that spirit of fear. Now, we all have moments of fear, and fear is okay when the fear is legitimate. If you're being attacked by a bear or oncoming traffic and you have a moment of fear that helps you respond, you know, that fight or flight response, that's a very healthy thing. But when it sort of permeates your life with fear and worry, it can become a serious problem. In fact, the leading cause of going to counselors these days is due to anxiety, often connected with depression. And so today, how do we overcome worry and anxiety? Just got some statistics on some of the top things that Americans worry about. We worry about a corrupt government official. Of course, at this time of year, that's on the front of our minds. Economic and financial collapse. We're worried about nuclear weapons and nuclear war and our loved ones becoming seriously ill. Someone that we love dying. And these are things that we worry about and think about. So what do we do? And today we're going to show you from Scripture, and you're going to hear the stories of people who are dealing with worry and anxiety in their life, and there is a biblical solution to this, and we're going to talk about it today. Hey, by the way, if you have a story you want to share, maybe you've learned how to deal with worry, maybe you've overcome it, or maybe you just have a question, you can ask on our comment line today. When you call 888-888-1717, that line's open to you right now. Comes right here into our Intentional Living studio, 888-888-1717. Just before we move on and get into our calls, can I encourage you to let someone know today, share how Intentional Living is on the radio and our podcast, be an ambassador to get the word out about living intentionally in Christ. Would you do that? I'd appreciate it.
Having trouble driving on the highway. My family is getting ready to go on a vacation to Prim, Nevada for racing. And it's upsetting my husband.
And it seems like every time I turn around, something's going wrong with my body. I'm feared for my health. I'm feared that I might get so sick that I can't take care of myself.
Wow. You know, and you hear people say, you know, 98% of what we worry about won't happen. Well, sometimes it does happen, but we also, as Christians, know we don't have a lot of control over a lot of things, and obviously we need to try to keep control of things we can control, and as that one little quip says, and you know you know the difference, and you give God control. I'm thinking of, you know, there's a book in the Bible in the Old Testament called Lamentations, and it's Jeremiah's Lamentations. It's sort of like him in a funeral procession, and he's sharing these laments as he sees the Babylonians who have overtaken Jerusalem and destroying his city. And this is what? This is like 550 BC. And the whole thing is just, you know, you could read it and say, this is a downer. I mean, in chapter 3, he says, I am a man who has been afflicted by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. I mean, woe is me. And you read Lamentations, and you could get the feeling that, man, here's a guy who had opportunity to worry and be upset, see what's going on. But let me encourage you. Listen to what he says in Lamentation. We're right in the middle of this Lamentation, Lamentation 3. In verse 22, for the next three or four verses, he says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That is encouraging. Lamentations chapter 3. By the way, that started in verse 22. All right, the lines are backing up here.
What do you worry about? Let's go. Starting with Michelle in New Mexico. What do you worry about, Michelle?
Having a part-time job, which is rather recent, and not having it, you know, cover what it is that it, that I do need. But in the meantime, you know, kind of waiting patiently, you know, what God has for me. He had told me to quit my job that I had previously a year ago, and I had that one for like 16 years, and I was out of work for 7 months.
So are you worrying about money?
In some ways, yes, I am, because, an inheritance, you know, that my father left is not going to last me forever. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't really had a whole lot of prospects on a job. But in the meantime, when I try to look for a job, something always comes up, like a home repair mm-hmm. that I needed to do. Mm-hmm. You know, my washer broke, my refrigerator broke, and now my dryer's broke. Yeah, and my well pump broke, and I had to replace all of those things.
So the part what I hear you, what I hear, Michelle, is not only worried about finance, just life. It's just kind of very stressful, and it kind of permeates what's next, kind of a thing. You know, if I'm hearing you right, what's going to happen next? Yeah, and I can see that. Okay, we're going to be praying. By the way, at the end of this show here today, I'm going to pray for all of you, all right? And we're trying to make sense of some of this during this hour and see that ultimately, I mean, ultimately, there's things we control, things we don't. We don't control much. We really need to rest in the Lord. And I think for Christians, this is where we really have a dividing point with others in the world is where is our trust? You know, and that's a tough one. I know even as Christians, it's tough. Okay, Michelle, let me go to Julie in Arizona. Julie, what do you worry about?
I have a day program for developmentally disabled adults, and I am worried about key employees leaving the business.
Hmm.
And I know logically I'm to trust in the Lord, but with CD, you know, they tend to obsess on those thoughts.
So you worry about if they left, what would happen, and what would happen?
You know, my program could suffer because of it.
Yeah. How much does this affect you, this this feeling?
Quite a bit. I would say daily, and then I tend to walk on eggshells for a fear of offending the employees or upsetting them because I'm so worried about them leaving.
Mm. So there's this, really, there's almost a sense of bondage, isn't there?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. You find your days to be hard then, just to enjoy the good things that are going on in your business and so on?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, when I think of a practical response to what you're sharing, Julie, I think of the passage in Philippians chapter 4 that I've used over the years, and it's really my life verse 4:8. But it leads up before that where Paul talks about being anxious for nothing. Now, you got to remember where he was writing this and think about what he's going through. He's not sitting on, you know, on an island on the beach waiting for, you know, someone to bring him some cool lemonade. And he's in prison, and yet he's able to say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Here's what I think it comes down to. What I've learned for myself, it's hard, but you got to do it. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, which is really the thinking part of this. We got to get our mind straight. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue or anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, Julie, I think what God's telling us here, or Paul's telling us through the word is, hey, tell yourself the truth. If this is, and I know it's hard, but if this is God's business, he's raised up these people to be with me, I'll take as good a care as I can of my business, but at the end of the day, this is his business and not mine. I think if you really focus on telling yourself the truth as opposed to some of the lies, it makes a difference.
And that's a good point. I can say I have not done that.
And I think that's the key. I find for myself, it's my thinking that messes me up.
Yes.
We go down these trails of awfulizing stuff, as they say. You know, everything's awful. Not going to work. We focus on that. And the Bible's clear. Focus on the things that are true. Hey, what's the worst thing that could happen? That, you know, my business fails, God's still on his throne, and I got to, you know, regroup and go on. And I think when we can bring it to the point of truth and reality, we're better off. Hope that helps, Julie. Thanks for your call.
Kind of ashamed to say it, 53 years old, and I'm still afraid of the dark.
My boyfriend seems to fear commitment, and not in such a way like, oh, he's afraid of commitment, but like it's a real anxiety for him.
I fear my children. My daughter's turning 5. Putting them into school and interesting someone else to teach them and train them and be a major role model in their life.
She's afraid of the situation he's in. My son, he's living in an area which isn't safe, and he was robbed at gunpoint of 2 weeks ago. And now when she doesn't hear from him on a regular basis or can't get in touch with him, then she's afraid that he's, you know, got something else going on.
Yeah. Boy, hear it? You know, we tapped into some pool here. You're not alone if you're worried. I mean, our lines are jammed. And listen, we'd love to have you come in through online as well. You can tweet me if wherever you are. Just tell me, what do you worry about? Just you know, quickly send me a note. Here's what I worry about. You can tweet me at my Twitter handle, which is at Dr. Randy Carlson. That's Dr. Randy Carlson, at Dr. Randy Carlson. Or you can go to theintentionallife.com, click on Get on Facebook, and join the discussion. Here's what people are saying. What do you worry about? Joe says, my husband and my children, my grandchildren, and lost souls and Christians that have fallen away from the truth. Teresa says, I'll worry for a second, then I remember who holds my hand, my life in his hands, and I do my best and give God the rest. Worrying is a wasted energy. Yeah, it is. But boy, it is that kind of energy that overtakes us, doesn't it? All right, Elaine's on the line in Michigan. Welcome, Elaine.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm doing okay today. Appreciate your call.
Yeah.
How about worry for you? What do you worry about?
Well, I was just listening to you make the comment of how you worry.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think as Christians, we don't look at those things like that as being sinful. But it just goes to show that we have sin continuously.
Absolutely.
Coming up in our lives, and
sure,
that's why we need to always pray and stay in prayer and ask the Lord for forgiveness throughout the mm-hmm. whole day, throughout your whole life. You have to really continue, and sometimes things are so misleading, and I just feel like these things should not be so available to us, and I feel the need to listen to the news because being the type of person I am, I've been an activist all my life, and we need to be well informed.
You know, I think you talk about news, though. I find myself when I turn on, I watch the news. That can start to generate worry. I mean, there's just the activity, and pretty soon you think everything in the world is just happening right in your own block or in your own family. And so there has to be a balance with that for sure. What do you worry about? What is it you worry about? We're going to be praying for everybody who's calling in or tweeting or going online and sharing with us at 888-888-1717. I appreciate it. Thank you, Elaine. Let me go to Jay in Arizona. What do you worry about, Jay?
Well, lots of different things. And then when I hear about political stuff, I try to shut that off as quickly as I can.
Probably wise.
Yeah. Two things. First and foremost, I do have a huge praise. I just kind of want to shout out to the Lord about that. I used to worry about my son a lot. He is very late teens, very early 20s, and he went through kind of a period where he kind of stepped away from the family. And, you know, I used to worry about him a lot. And so I came to a point where I couldn't really bug him anymore. I couldn't, you know, try to reach out. I just kind of said, okay, God, this is really in your hands. And it you know, the contact has been somewhat spotty, but nonetheless, God is good.
Yeah.
And he's brought him back to me under kind of a need for him that, you know, he needed his father. And, you know, I certainly reached out back to him, and we were able to you know, do some work together on his broken vehicle, and kind of our relationship is back. So
that
worry about that is has passed. So I know that worry does have a shelf life.
Yeah, it does. You know, and also you're practicing praise, which we know is a part of the process of overcoming a worry when we take our mind and, I mean, from a pure psychological standpoint, when you have things in your head that you're thinking about and you pull those out, you got to replace it with something else. And that's why memorization of scripture is such a practical thing. People who sing and they love to worship God in song and praise, when you're driving along and you turn those thoughts into praise, that makes a difference. Now, some people listening say, you guys are in a great big state of denial. You know, you're just trying to ignore that the world's going on around you. I don't think that's what happens. I think what we recognize is that, yes, we have responsibility to take care of things. We should take care of our family and our health and our finances, and we should be good stewards. The Bible is full of things that we should be doing and need to do to be good, you know, people that are following Christ obediently and intentionally. But there's the world that comes in on us that we have no control over, or the things that we need to be praying about or giving praise to God for in our lives. And like you say, replacing, Jay, worry with praise is a really important thing. Okay, got to move on. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate your call. Lots of comments. We'll get to some of your comments. You can, as I said, you can tweet me. If you have a tweet, my handle is @ Dr. Randy Carlson, or go to theintentionallife.com and hit Facebook there.
Something that everyone will experience in life is pain. In Dr. Randy's message, The Purpose of Pain, you'll learn even though pain is a problem, when you understand its purpose in your life, you can actually gain freedom.
Pain is a troubling problem for humanity, and yet, without pain, we'd have no grasp of the contrast with health or peace or success or meaning. For it's in the pain that we're able to see how dependent we are on God and what His blessings are all about in our life.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group with unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now and receive these life-changing resources. Call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome to welcome back here to Intentional Living Center. Talking about what do you worry about? What does the Bible have to say? David was another one that had a lot of reason to worry. He said in Psalm 39:7, he says, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. My hope is in you." In other places, we see that he is the hope. So it's not only that hope is not only a verb, in other words, something that we should strive to toward, but he is the hope. He is the one that that we need to allow to overtake our lives completely and take control of our lives. What do you worry about? What do you worry about? Some more calls here. Let's go to John in Texas. Hi there, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi. How are you today? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. What do you worry about, John?
Well, you know, I was telling the guy earlier, I've been a Christian since I was 11. I'm 54. My kids are Christians. My wife's Christian. We've got all that taken care of, but I find myself worrying about my children constantly. My daughter's 17. My son's 24. My son is kind of out on his own trying to make his way in the world, and I've been praying for a good job, a way to make a living, and a Christian spouse for him for a few years now. And I just can't seem to get it all. You know, I lift it up to the Lord every night, and then I start worrying about it, you know, there's a problem there. I know better than that. I know the scriptures on this type of thing. And
Yeah.
It's just hard to shake it. That's kind of Satan's hold on me, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm. And John, listen, it's because you're a good dad. That's where it begins. Good dads do that kind of thing. And I think as dads and men in particular, we like to control things. I can remember when our kids lived at home, when they were in that age, 17, 18, so on, I'd worry about them. And, you know, they'd be out late and when they could be home or they'd amazing thing is when they left and went to college or when they got married, I'd worry about them quite so much. I think there's that sense of responsibility. We've cared for them and provided for them. And it's a growing process, John, I think, for you and for all of us as parents to be able to truly, truly give our kids over to the Lord and know that, that we don't own them. And I don't need to preach to you. You know all the verses. It's a daily. I'll tell you what it is. Life is a daily exercise of being intentional. That's why I say one thing. I wear this wristband every day, one thing. And if worry is your deal, I mean, you're struggling with it, maybe every day you say, hey, my one thing today as I really wrestle with this is I'm going to give my kids to God again today. Right now, I'm going to give my children to God. I'll pray for them. I'll be available to support them. But recognize I don't own them. They're God's. I'm a steward. He's given me opportunity for a brief time to be into their lives. And I think it's a daily exercise, John. And if you continue to do that, I can almost promise it'll get better over the years ahead.
Well, thank from you my so experience. Much for your ministry.
Yeah, you're very welcome from my experience. Because I'm a worry guy, and I wrestle with this. And someone asked, well, how do you deal with it? I just keep coming back to what I know, which is the truth. You know, God's ultimately in charge. I don't have charge of a lot of things. Be responsible for what I can. And for what I can't, you know, you just have to continue. Even with the things you do have control, you give God control of that as well. And I think on Twitter, Charlotte she tweeted and she says what she worries about is the extent of the consequences from decisions. You know, you make a decision. Now, what are the consequences? Consequences of decisions other people make or decisions that I make. And again, I think it comes back to being able to look at that and say, hey, you know, if I got a leaky pipe, there's going to be a consequence. If I don't deal with it, I'll fix it. But there are some things we can't fix, and there's some things we can't make better. And those things we really, truly, boy, those are the ones we really have to wrestle to make sure that we give them to the Lord every day. It's a daily thing, and don't expect to do it once and it's over. Now, for some of you, you know, let's face it, some people just seem to be wired in such a way, spiritually or otherwise, they don't worry as much. Well, we took a poll around here with our spiritual giants on our staff here on a scale of 1 to 10, and we all were coming in, you know, mid-range here. And so I think we all wrestle with this. This is not something that's just for you or for a few people. People on Facebook are saying, Kathy says, I worry about my 14-year-old grandson. Margie says, my family. Jason says, keeping my job. And these are the things of life. And ultimately, as I shared from Psalm 39, to be able to continue to be reminded when we say, now and now, Lord, what do I wait for? Because I know my hope is in you. Ultimately, when we recognize our hope is in him, that's a spiritual decision every day to trust him. Tough, but when you do, God is there to intervene. There's another response to pain, and it's to deny that you're in pain. Jim Carrey, the comedian, made the statement, my focus is to forget the pain of life. Forget the pain, mock the pain, reduce it, and laugh. I think sometimes as Christians, we put our Christian bubble around ourselves and we say things like, you know, as a Christian, I shouldn't have pain. Or I don't have time for pain. Or I'm just simply going to ignore it and it'll go away. Unrecognized and unaccepted pain tends to compound with very negative results over time. Ignoring the pain of loss is no less harmful than ignoring the pain of a cancerous tumor. Both will only grow until you have no choice but to deal with them, and unfortunately, sometimes the solution comes too late. A solemn message, but it's true, and there's a purpose for pain, I believe. We know the problem of pain, and we've all experienced it. Pain is a part of life. We all would like to see less pain and more pleasure, I suppose, and we often do when we have pain, we try to fill it with pleasure and really ignore, as I said, the fact that pain is maybe telling us something that we need to learn, need to grow through and experience, and hopefully draw us closer to Christ, closer to the reality of life and death and just the frailty of our humanity. And every day, I rejoice in the fact we're alive and we can celebrate life in him. All right, as we're
going through the show today, I just want to remind you that if you have a story to share, you can do so when you call 888-888-1717 on our storyline. If you'd like to receive access to all of the teaching, you just heard a clip from this month's featured lesson on the purpose of pain. We'd love to have you be a part of our monthly family. Your monthly support makes a difference. Can I ask you right now to pray about joining us for $1 a day in support of the ministry, $30 a month? You know, you and many others around the country allow us to do this every day. We give you access to all of our teaching on our exclusive site, and you know that you're having a part of making a difference in people's lives. How do I do that, Randy? It's very simple. During West Coast business hours, you can always call 888-888-1717. That's our main number here. If you press number 1, you normally come on in to leave a story, or you can press number 2 and talk to our staff. Share a prayer need, tell us where you are, what God's doing in your life, and come and join the family, okay? So you can call 888-888-1717, or anytime, go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, theintentionallife.com. And I just want to say on behalf of the entire Intentional Living family, thank you so much for being a part of our ministry and joining us today.
Hey, Dr. Randy, my name is Barry. I just want to thank you so much for your program. It has meant so much to me personally as a man and as a husband and a father. This year has been so tough for us as a family. My wife and my kids that I married into, we went through a lot of storms. Without your program, I don't know that we would have ever survived it. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, and God bless you, and thank you so much for what you're doing. Thanks.
Well, I'm humbled. Thank you for just sharing your life with us, so being so transparent of what God is doing in your life, and we appreciate you doing that. If you have a story, you want us to pray with you, if you have a question, come and tell us when you go to 888-888-1717. I want to just close in prayer for all of us and for all of us who struggle with worry today. Lord, I pray for those who've called, for those who got through, those who didn't, those who are posting and tweeting from all over the country and maybe around the world. We all can worry. I guess it's just part of the makeup, part of the fallen nature. Lord, we know Satan loves to leverage worry for his benefit. We pray he'll find no foothold in our lives today. And I pray for victory in thinking, victory and freedom in the minds and hearts of listeners today who are worried, that they truly would stop and say, my hope is in God. I give this to him and I will trust him completely. And Lord, I pray that'll be the experience of many people today. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you all for your support and your prayers, guys and ladies. Appreciate it. We're here because we love you, and it's because of your ongoing financial support we can do this. I'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.